We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. Feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler. Butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. Thursday, October 20th, 2016. You should follow us on Twitter if you have not already. New listeners, old listeners, we would encourage you to do that. We'd also encourage you to press the subscribe button when you search us on iTunes. Just look up Zardcast, iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, Google Play, whichever application you prefer. Just look us up and we are there. Hit subscribe, maybe even recommend. Or leave us a review. All that stuff's good. We are recording from now until infinity, or at least until the season is over. We're going to start recording weekly here. There may be some bumps in the road early on, especially, you know, holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, all that good stuff. It kind of gets in the way of podcasting. So could be some early bumps here. We'll iron out the day of the week. But, you know, if you subscribe, you won't have to worry about this issue. So, also, right off the bat, venue change for the Podders coming up, so that will also alter things. So just stay tuned to the Twitter, stay tuned to the podcast feed, and we'll be with you for the duration. Myself, my good friend David Keffer, you'll be with us for the duration. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm really happy to be back in the saddle.
I'm back! Like Aerosmith would say.
They wouldn't say it like that at all.
Well,
I thought Steven Tyler was in the room.
who else is in the room with us? Gary Jones.
Hey there, bud.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Also, pumped to be back.
I bet you're excited. We lured you here with a promise of 196 seconds of Joel Embiid talk at the end of the pod. So
I fought hard for 200, but you drive a hard bargain, and I'll settle for 196.
All right. We'll save that for the end of the podcast. Excited to get your takes on them.
I feel like he just used 6 or 7 seconds.
You want to start docking him now? You're tough.
Oh, you brought him up.
All right.
Yeah, that was kind of a trap. We trapped him. All right. So with that, introductions out of the way, we're going to preview this 2016-17 Washington Wizards basketball season. We're going to go top down here. We're going to delve into the overarching storylines, what kind of happened in the offseason. We're going to run through basically player by player all of the narratives and the storylines. There were chock full of them this evening. And then later on, if you're lucky, we'll get to look a little bit at the rest of the Eastern Conference, a little bit the schedule as well. So should be a good time. Some new sounds to introduce this evening, along with talking about some new players. So very excited for the Zardcast to be alive and well again. So let's get to it here. So when we last spoke, actually, we did a summer pod, so it wasn't like last season.
I don't remember it very well.
Mm. Well, you don't remember us tossing a beach ball around the living room like, this is great, summertime.
And you're wearing a tank top now, but we were all wearing them then.
Yeah.
And we had turned the living room into a beach. We're definitely not getting our security deposit back.
No. They're going to be pissed when they see the piles of sand still in the corner when we move out of here. Oof.
It is 85 degrees today, though, so not that dissimilar.
Yeah, do you want to start throwing sand around again? No? All right. So it was, I guess it was, you know, we were lighthearted last time, but now we're going to be serious. We have serious basketball things to talk about here. Number one being, let's go back in time a little bit. That's the back in time sound.
That's good.
That we need. So the Washington Wizards, perfectly average last year, 41-41. The end of the season, missing the playoffs, firing their head coach, Randy Whitman, signing their alleged second best player to a max contract, more money than their best player on the roster. They tried for Kevin Durant. They tried for Al Horford. They ended up with Jan. And, you know, this is a big week. I'm sorry. They hired Scott Brooks, too. That's a thing. That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a big offseason. It seems kind of like, you know, on the surface, everything is pretty similar to last season, especially with the starting five being the same as it was when the season ended. But it was a big offseason for the Wiz. And the thing is, they kind of need to make some big moves this season. They can't miss the playoffs. No chance. Or they shouldn't. I mean, they probably need to get out of that first round, too. They need to make some waves. They need to show that they are a player in the East, I think, is what the goal is for this season. Let's get some 30,000-foot aerial views of the Wiz. Dave, you've had a lot of time to think about this. I know this is what you, like, ponder on a day-to-day basis. Like, how are John and Brad going to play this year?
Sheesh.
Many months. Let's hear it.
Well, I feel like the one thing you don't want to do is be like, well, they can't miss the playoffs this year, because I just want to let you guys know they absolutely can. They did it last year. They can do it again this year. I feel like the only sense that they can't is if they want to keep John Wall, they can't really miss the playoffs this year. If they don't take a step forward, I feel like that's when you get into, even if he's not necessarily, like, you know, you don't hear the reports like he's grumbling, he wants to leave, it already sort of undermines your whole team. Like, the Kings can't really build because everyone is sort of assumes Cousins doesn't want to be there anymore. So I think that after they paid Brad, if he doesn't step up and they don't make the playoffs again, I feel like that could spell trouble for, like, years to come.
Gary, where do you fall down on this?
I agree that it's a crucial season from the long-term view of just John. That would be winning the East, as long as LeBron and the Cavs are still what they are, seems a tall task. So your main goal is what you were just saying, do well enough that everyone's happy, they feel there's improvement, and John Wall feels confident in the team around him, and that the Wizards can build beyond that, because he's the key.
I mean, just two seasons ago, they were a John Wall broken hand away from the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that is recent memory. You know, it kind of seems like a long way away, just because we missed the playoffs last year and it would suck to not have the Wizards in there, but I mean, you look at anything on the internet, just the way people are chattering, like, it's fresh in people's minds. They were goddamn close, and they didn't get it done last year. They fired Randy Whitman, as I said. They dumped a Brinks truck worth of money on Scott Brooks' driveway. 7 years, $35 million, I believe, were the figures there. So I think bringing him in, that's at least worth a couple wins, right? Like, don't you think that's worth, like, at least four more wins if they were, like, super average and not interested with Randy throughout the season last year?
I think just in terms of disinterest, like you're talking about, it gets a couple wins. Usually a coaching change like that, even if the coach isn't necessarily better, if things have become stale with an old coach, that'll usually, just for a win total, give you a little bump. I remember when we did do the off-season one, though, we were all not super high on that signing. Has that changed for either of you guys?
It's still kind of, I mean, I'm not crazy about it. I think, you know, if you looked at the candidates out there, I mean, we went through them all. I think we had a couple guys, or myself personally had a couple guys placed above him, but, you know, he's fine. He has a track record of developing young players, and you know who's a young player? You know, we a lot of times we talk about, you know, like, oh, maybe he can, like, get Kelly Oubre going or Otto going, but Brad Beal's still a young player. Like, I think having him in his corner will be helpful. I've kind of turned around a little bit on it. I wasn't, like, blown over with excitement when it was announced, and, you know, it's fine. It's good for me.
I think I don't know that I ever felt like it was a bad signing. It just, with everything else that happened over the offseason, it was just so uninspired. There was nothing really behind it.
Except for trying to lure Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Did John lure him?
There's... All right.
Gary always brings the jokes. Can't deny that.
But, I mean, I feel certainly better about it than if Randy was still around. So, and it seems like the team is, they seem to have like a different outlook about it. So if they're buying in, that's fine, because it definitely didn't seem like they were bought into Randy toward the end of last year.
Or like ever during the regular season. Like, that was always the thing about Randy. Like, he had those two good playoff runs, you know, almost had him at the Eastern Conference Finals. That's fine, but like, I just felt like even in those playoff runs, or like, you know, leading up to him, they were just always in dog shit positions, mostly because they didn't give a shit about him in the regular season. I don't know. It was weird. It'll just be nice to have new coach, like, fire there, really.
Yeah, and even if, you know, Scott Brooks blows a bunch of games like Randy did, he'll probably blow them in, like, a different and interesting way. So that'll be something to take away from it. Like, at least Randy didn't do this.
Do you have any early takes on his suit game?
Well, that is probably the biggest upgrade.
You know what? He might want to be one of the stronger suit guys in the league, actually.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tempting to say he's like a more normal-sized man. He can probably find more stuff that fits. So, you know, you don't want to go too hard on Randy. He is like a strangely shaped and sized man, but
you can relate to that in suit buying.
I mean, he's like 6'8". He can't find an it or whatever he is. But, yeah, and those glasses Scott Brooks wears.
So he does have stylish glasses.
So yeah. Sharp.
You know, I was listening to him. He was on The Junkies recently. I didn't know this is, I guess, he is living in D.C. bachelor life. Sans his family at an apartment near the Verizon Center. Oof. So he does the, he just does the bit where he just strolls over and he's like, no one recognizes me. No one knows who I am.
He looks like every guy that lives in D.C.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, you see Scott Brooks walking around downtown every time you're down there. I'm like, oh, there he is over there.
Where do you think he likes to hit up, like, Taylor Gourmet or, like,
he probably just hangs out at Warby Parker all the time.
That's where you can find him. New one just opened up on U Street. He gets sized.
He's probably there every day. They know him there. And he waves and looks, hey, Scott, nothing new today. He just walks back
up. Oh, man. This 35 mil just burned a hole in my pockets. God damn it. All right, so we're, like, lukewarm on Scott Brooks right now. That's okay. We agree that it's kind of, they should win at least a handful more games. I want to save, I thought about doing this at the top, but I think we should save deciding if we want to go with where we stand on the Vegas over-under for the Wizards. I think we should save that till the very end. So the win total is 42.5, which is Vegas, man. They just know things. It's like someone's watching all the Wizards games out there in the desert. Who knows? So I won't ask you if they'll sniff 50 games. We can talk about that at the end. So moving on down the list, should we talk about John Wall? I think we got to lead off with John Wall.
Play it.
Let's do it. Oh, my God, we are in.
Man, must be week one.
Must be week one, okay.
Even the pod god gets rusty.
Here we go.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall. John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
He makes us swoon. He makes the ladies swoon. He's the undisputed superstar of this team. Possibly the second best player in the Eastern Conference. Just saying, guys. I know Kyrie made that shot in the finals, but let's see who plays more consistently. Let's see who plays more games, too. Would like to see that. But anyway, it's been a bit of a long offseason for John. He had two knee surgeries. He did return for the preseason, though. That was kind of unclear when he underwent those procedures. But he's back. He's been a little bit rusty, but no big deal. And, you know, they missed the playoffs last year. And John had the best statistical year of his career. Probably, outside of that, probably the best. I think we could agree on that, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was carrying the team on his back for many, many nights. And, you know, it's not really his game. His game is to be great when others are also doing great. He's trying to, you know, emote that outwards. But do you think he can go up from here? I feel like he can still get better. Obviously, his teammates need to hold up their end of the bargain on this. Obviously, he's the future of the Wizards. And obviously, as you both said, if they don't make the playoffs, this is going to be quite damaging for Washington's hopes of retaining John the next time his contract comes up. So what do we think about going into the season? He, like I said, averaged career highs in points, 19.9, 10.2 assists, 4.4 rebounds. I don't know how many steals he had. I think he had about two steals a game and shot 35% from three. So all career highs, all good things, all numbers that could go up. What do we expect for John Wall this year? Dave, have you been texting him? I know your guy's relationship is hot and cold, but I feel like during the offseason, it's thawed a little bit. You hear from him at all?
Well, actually, so you guys might have heard that there's some tension. I know you want to talk about this later, between John and Brad.
Yeah.
And that is something that's been going on for a while. I didn't want to bring it up. Didn't feel like it was my place. But it sort of boiled over a little bit, and this might surprise you guys, but I'm actually Brad's friend now.
Whoa!
Yeah. That's just the way things sort of cracked up.
This is a bombshell for episode one.
I think it might, you know, it might just have to do with, like, our social circles are a little more aligned, you know. We like to do the same kinds of stuff more than John and I ever did.
What does Brad like to do?
Well, I mean, I know you and John's whole thing used to bowl, right? Wasn't that...
We would go bowling, but the thing is, John didn't really like it so much. He did it just because he liked hanging out with me, but
gotcha. He
didn't super enjoy bowling. So he would sit there and, like, just eat a bunch of chicken wings and, like, try to make a little house, like a Lincoln Log house out of bones. And I'm like, John, we're bowling here. I got, you know, a turkey, and you're not even paying attention.
Then he tried to make a turkey bone thing, probably.
And, just to mock you.
And it's
how rude.
And, like, in normal circumstances, that's funny. That's hilarious, you know. But when I'm trying to express something to you. And that is when Brad would be like, hey, look, I also have a turkey going. And so, I don't know, I feel like he just gets me a little bit more.
That's fair. What do you think about John's, and we can get into the John, Brad, alpha dog stuff in a second here, but what do you think in terms of just John this year? I mean, I think the question really is, like, can his teammates hold up? Is that their end of the bargain? Like, can the Wizards be good enough for John to be great? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like that makes sense.
So he did. He put up career numbers, shooting the three, scoring and assisting. But he was actually his least efficient he's ever been, or he's been in years. His true shooting percentage was garbage, like Derrick Rose, Kobe Bryant garbage. He turned the ball over a lot. Even though he was, you know, shooting from three more and hitting more and shooting more at the rim than he had recently. So I think the issue is that he had to take a bunch of shots that he's not good at, and they were guarding him because nobody else could hit. So, yeah, he can definitely get better if people around him support him more and can pull some of the defense away from him.
Remember the second season of... LeBron, Wade, Bosch in Miami, when LeBron had that streak where he just was crazy efficient, and everyone pretty, like, accepted that that's his best year, even though his numbers were the same. LeBron, every year, he's getting, like, 26, 7, and 7.
Right.
It doesn't really change up or down ever.
Right.
But that year, he did that while also shooting, like, 56%, and there was that one stretch of games where he shot over 50%, like, I don't remember how many games in a row it was,
but it
smashed the record. And that came from that jump, I would assume, came from him having Wade, Bosch, you know, all those other dudes who were like
the Death Star was operational.
So, yeah, I think Wall could have a similar jump in efficiency if he got good play out of guys around him. I think Markieff Morris could be a help towards that. you know, obviously depends on how Beal does, and Gortat's always his go-to guy, so I don't think he'll be fine there.
Seems like we're up on John. I don't know how you couldn't be. I can't believe the disrespect that he gets overall. Did you guys see that GM survey, like the best passers? Did he like not even get a vote?
Yeah.
Like no one even thought about him?
And then...
oh, my God. Disrespectful.
The Washington Post today ranked the 100 best players in the league. Did you see that?
What, did he come at 21 or something?
22.
What? Ooh. That's pretty low. Although... when you said could be second best player in the East, the dude that jumps out of my mind is Paul George.
Yeah, I feel like he's most people's pick, but I don't know. I think
22 though. That's he's better than 22.
The ranking was pretty dumb. Like some James Harden was like 15, 14, something like that, which I thought was really low. Blake Griffin was 21.
Yeah.
I think.
Blake Griffin can't stay on the court, bro. I feel like in those rankings, that kind of shit always gets overlooked. Like,
well, yeah, and then they had Lowry, Lillard, and Kyrie all had a wall, and the like blurb they wrote up was that he like has had surgery in the season or in the off season. It remains to be seen if he can get back to where he was playing before. There's no reason to think that he. He didn't miss games during the season. He was fine with hurt knees. So,
yeah, and I mean, he's looked fairly spry so far in the preseason. All right. Well, you know what? John likes his haters. He really does feed off of it. He's one of the few guys that like doesn't let it get to him. He really does like embrace it.
He just goes and searches and sees who's making fun of him on Twitter and calls him lame.
Speaking of which.
He got Jake Whittaker.
Yeah, he got...
he got Caleb Michael Sarvis.
Our boy, Caleb.
Two friends of the pod.
Yeah, seriously.
Roasted by John.
You know what? That's why you don't tweet. That's why Zardcast is not out there tweeting a lot, because what happens if we get owned online like that?
Is that why we're not out there tweeting a lot?
That's why I'm not on there. That's why I don't participate in the internet, because you never know who's going to own you and when.
That is like your biggest fear in life.
You could end up on CNN if you get owned hard enough.
That's very true.
It'll be like Anderson Cooper, like talking about how you got owned.
But think about the downloads
by anyone. You know what? It could even be like a brand, like IHOP could own you on Twitter. And then what?
Imagine if Levi's owned you.
Oh my God. I can't. I can't imagine that. That's like the dystopian world we're living in, where you can get owned by
Jergens,
by brands.
Can we all agree that the whole John Wall wearing the Cowboys jersey is super dumb?
That it matters, you mean?
So RIP to Jake Whittaker and Caleb Michael Sarvis. Sorry, guys. Well, I guess while we're talking about off-season stuff, let's gloss over the whole John Brad controversy. Basically, it sounds like they don't... These reports are coming. I don't even remember who. It's ages ago. It was off-season fodder, which is how I feel, but I feel like it's worth addressing because we never talked about it. John and Brad, not the best of friends. They both feel like they're the alphas sort of thing. John has a history of eyeing up what other people are making and, again, feeling and using that disrespect, quote-unquote. Caused a little bit of a fervor in the offseason. I don't think it was much of anything, but I think it is. I mean, if things go bad for the Wizards, if things really turn south this year, like this is what will, I mean, this could be the seeds of that discontent. Who knows?
I think he screwed up by using the word sidekick. I think if he just hadn't said sidekick, it all would have been fine.
But right.
That's like kind of an insulting word. So even if he didn't mean it that way, or if he doesn't like feel that animosity or anything, When he said that, it kind of took it to another level. And I mean, that's the word that would have stuck out to me if I just read the transcript of the interview. I would have, like, before, if it wasn't presented to me as, like, a story, John Wall says this about Brad Beal, and it just plopped the interview in front of me, I would have said, oh, side, like, that would have stuck out to me. So, I don't know. But they've played together fine. All that matters is they get out there. next week and continue to play together fine.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, how does Brad Beal not know that he is the sidekick? You never made an all-star team. You don't have, like, the national reputation. You clearly are the sidekick. You're extremely good. Nobody would love him to be extremely good more than Wall. So I don't think... Nothing was said there that either of them didn't know the other one thought, I don't think.
Right.
And that seemed to be their bit, is that... And John does this all the time, where he just doesn't have any, like, PR instincts. So he just says, like, the Reggie Jackson thing. Who in the NBA wouldn't be like, man, that guy's making the same amount of money as me? But he just says it, because that's the kind of guy that he is. But I don't think it matters. Kevin Durant just said the other day, him and Westbrook were just, like, work friends. Everybody thought they were really tight. They weren't. And they... got along fine. I mean, they played great together, and that's really all that matters.
There's a lot of sidekicks in the Hall of Fame.
That's very true.
Well, I can understand why John might, when he goes home, like, shuffles feet around, like, oh, Brad's making more money than me.
Right.
Because the Wiz, I mean, this is what, I mean, we focus on, I guess when we're thinking of free agency, we're focusing on Jan Mahimni. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. But really, the big offseason splash was, I can't pronounce last names. This has long been documented on Zardcast. So, but he was the big offseason signing, 5 years, $128 million. That's a lot of money. And really, he is... the linchpin as far as the Wizards' future goes. If he is not any good, or he continues to only play 55 games a year, like, this is going to be bad times, and the Wizards are asking to strap a stick of dynamite to themselves and blow it all up, because that would be a disaster. On the flip side, he's got potential, he's got skill. If he can stay out there, he can get the job done and could be an all-star shooting guard for sure. So
I also think it's a little bit overstated how injured he gets. Obviously, he missed almost 30 games this year. That's terrible. And it's not good that he's only played, I think, more than 70 one time. But he's played about the same number of games as Anthony Davis has played. He plays about the same number of games per year as Kawhi Leonard does. So with a guy that young, you gotta, and like as talented as he is, obviously he's not quite in their like tier, but you gotta pay him, and there's those teams are confident that their guys can stay on the court, and I don't know, he's a young guy. I think there's at least reason to think he'll get over that.
Yeah, I think I feel like, and maybe this is me too, like thinking like, oh God, like they paid him all this money, but he gets so injured. Maybe it's just because he's, in my mind, I'm thinking of like his in terms of his impact on the court, especially in the regular season, and especially last year, recency bias, of course. But I mean, I guess and a lot of other Wizards fans feel like we haven't heard a whole lot of noise from Brad Beal lately, and like the fact that they're throwing all this money at him, he had his career low in games played last year, like it just. Maybe that is why the injuries are over-amplified. You know, maybe he just needs some time. He just needs a little time. I hope that he at least just generally improves. I don't think we need, like, this gigantic step from him this year, but just some general improvement. And,
I mean,
and maybe 62 games would be nice.
Before he got hurt last year, at the beginning of the season, he came out, hit that game winner against the Spurs, was averaging, like, 23, 24 points a game. Then he got hurt and was never able to like get back in his rhythm. He didn't even start too many. I mean, he ended up coming off the bench for a bunch of games. But I think definitely if he can have a healthy offseason. I mean, did he get a concussion? Is that what happened to him?
Yeah.
Which is shitty, but at least it's not better, like...
Yeah, better than a leg injury.
I mean, maybe not for him down the road, but
for our own selfish viewing
for
purposes.
For us, I'm glad he just injured his brain rather than his body. but yeah, if he can just have, like, a consistent preseason, get into it. I don't know. There's no reason he can't be a 20-point scorer.
I agree. I kind of wish he weren't a max player just because of the scrutiny that's going to put on him. Like, if he could be a 20-point-a-game player, and the Wizards could be killing it, and you're still going to have some voices saying, yeah, but he's a number two player. Why is he getting a max? You know, so I not for the reason of cap or that he doesn't deserve it or anything like that. I just for the sake of not having to hear about it, if he doesn't absolutely tear the league up, part of me wishes he didn't have the max for that reason.
Well, you know what? We might start hearing Otto Porter max contract soon. So
maybe that'll
take the pressure off.
We'll get there. two quick questions for you on Bradley Beal. I'm going to put the over-under at games played at 64. Would you take the over or the under on that, Dave?
I mean, I got to take the over on it just for, like, my own mental well-being. Otherwise, what am I even investing? I can't make a commitment to spend all this time to watch 82 games, do this fucking podcast, if I don't think he's going to play more than 64 games.
Gary?
I would take the over also. Not for mental health, just because I think I'll get there.
All righty. Well, Dave, you brought up Otto Porter. Let's talk Otto Porter. Is 2016/17 the year of Otto Porter? He is a restricted free agent at the end of this year. He did have a rough start to last season, but he did end up playing pretty well as the year went on, especially after the All-Star break. He ended up averaging 11.7 points per game. He shot 47%, hit 45% of his threes. I'm sorry, all those numbers were for after the All-Star break. So, yeah, he did play well after the All-Star break. That stuff is exciting. And I think the whole caveat, the whole Otto Porter discussion, like we have with so many players in every sporting league, free agency contract year, like, that's what gets guys going. That's what gets them hungry. We saw it with, Ramon Sessions. He got himself a boatload of money last year, and he's friggin' Ramon Sessions. So,
sorry, I just watched this guy shank a extra point like 40 yards to the left, and then he just went, "Oh, my bad." Yeah, no shit, dude.
Did the chest tap.
Little Virginia Tech Miami Thursday Night Football.
But that also made me laugh to think of Otto, just because just watching him, I can't imagine any like selfish emotions Otto has, like thinking about, oh, I'm going to get a bunch of money. What is Otto going to do with a bunch of money? I've never...
He's long been established as the most boring wizard.
Get LASIK.
But I also think it would be just out of his character, like... If Otto was playing really well and sensed in himself that it was based on his desire for more money, he would be like, this isn't fair for me to get paid if I'm not going to play this well next year.
I like Otto. And I think, so kind of what I was just talking about with Beal, about he's going to have this, scale that he's measured upon because of his max contract. I feel like Otto has to live up to his pick a little too much. And he didn't, it's not his fault the Wizards took him ahead of these other dudes. That's just where he got drafted. You can't, you can judge the Wizards for taking him there and judge their decision-making in the draft, but you can't base your opinion on Otto Porter on where he was selected in the draft. And I feel like there's plenty of people who do that. I was talking to a guy the other day, a coworker who he wants to get one of the new alternate jerseys. You seen those?
Yeah, those are nice.
They're real nice. They're real fly. But he was running through players, and he was like, I already have a Gortat jersey. He's real worried Wall's going to leave in 2 years, so he doesn't want to get Wall. I forget, he had reasoning for all these other guys, and then he got the Porter. He's like, and I hate Porter. And I was like, why do you hate Porter? And he was like, just basically the same thing. He was like, I just can't believe we drafted him there. I was like, all right, well, that's not his fault. Like, he does all right. He's probably going to have a pretty good year. So I'm pro Porter, and Yeah, if he shoots 45% from three, that'll feed into that John Wall efficiency too. That's a great outlet if he can just dish off to him on the perimeter.
That is, I remember the first time I saw that split, because he was shooting like low 30s for most of the year, and then after the All-Star break just turned it on. It was hitting everything. And I feel like if he isn't hitting threes, he's like barely a playable player. But if he's shooting even like high, like 38-39%, and he keeps getting better defensively, keeps working on just like his passing, his rebounding, I really think there's a chance people will talk about him potentially getting a max contract.
Maybe a MIP award.
That would also be really cool to see. Weren't people talking about him getting it last year?
I think so. My one criticism of Porter is and this is only anecdotal, I don't have any numbers to back this up, but I don't know if there's anyone I can think of that just doesn't play whole basketball games at the same level. He'll crush a first half and then barely do anything in the second half, or vice versa, and that happens all the time.
He is a very, like, especially because his game, you would think, his game is basically just predicated on, like, hitting his open shots, and then he, like, makes his own plays elsewhere. You know, he's cutting, he's getting offensive rebounds, stuff like that. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to do that all game long. It's not like if his jumper's falling, he can't play. So I don't.
And you know what? Maybe that is, you know, something where just having, you know, new coach Scott Brooks in play, like that is, you know, could be a motivating factor where, maybe I don't know. And Duncan, you're exactly right. We don't even need numbers to back that up. You're spot on. But maybe it's one of those things where, you know, he's having, you know, kind of a rough first half. Randy's dogging him, and he's like, oh, I'm really just not playing up to my standards right now. This is really, really bothering me, you guys. But then he comes out of halftime, and then he has a little pep talk with John or Martian or something, and then he's on fire. You know, if he's got a good coach, a good leader in the locker room, which was another thing that was really missing last season, who knows if any player will fill that player leader void, but at least the head coach should, and maybe that will be enough to fire Otto's train for a full 48.
And he's got pressure from both sides, so he's got, you know, that big payday ahead of him, but he's also got the Wave Lord Kelly Oubre nipping at his heels.
Oh yes, so. Wave Lord. Oh, I like it.
Isn't that what he Wave Poppy?
It was Wave Poppy. Is it Wave Lord now?
I don't know,
just,
man.
Put your own spin on it because you love him so much.
This is a text I got from a friend of mine. He's a listener of the pod. He's the dude who used to listen when he lived out in Sweden and like never watched the NBA. I don't know if you guys remember, but he
you can shout him out by name unless he doesn't want to be identified.
do I want to?
All right.
He knows who he is.
Okay.
He texted me last night because he was doing a fantasy basketball draft. Asked me, initially he was like, got any late round flyers draft tonight? I sent some names his way. And then after I said a few things, he goes, is Otto Porter a punk or what? I told him I didn't think so and that I thought he'd be a good late round fantasy guy, but.
I feel like he is very consistent within a game, but game to game, he's going to get you like 10 and 5 every night.
Yeah, he averaged 5.2 rebounds per game last year, and that was the highest of his pretty short career. I mean, that was last year was essentially his second full season. So
he's a shockingly good rebounder sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, could he be their best offensive rebounder? Like,
he'll jump in there somehow, just get his little noodle arms in. And...
Last thing on Otto Porter, and this kind of made the rounds in the Wizards media sphere in the last couple weeks. Scott Brooks talked a little bit about him playing power forward at times, which famously he excelled at against the Raptors in that playoff series. Not really used to the same effect under Randy Whitman last year. Didn't have quite the same results, but I like where Scott Brooks' head is at, you know? Like, just a little bit something different. I think, you know, we can talk a little bit as we move further down the line here, but opens the doors for some super interesting lineups.
For sure. Especially because Markieff Morris was playing a little center. Not against the Cavs, I think. The game before that, maybe?
And against the Kings? I think that was who they played last Saturday.
The first preseason game against the Heat, he was playing some center, too. And that, he was guarding Whiteside.
That could be real interesting. But I feel like if Otto plays a significant amount at power forward, that might be the final push to like the end of the traditional names for positions. Because if Otto is playing it, it can't be called the power forward.
There's nothing powerful about him. Yeah.
And I feel like Garrett Temple almost did that to the shooting guard position last year. Like, we can't call it that.
Him at the power forward opens up more minutes for Oubre.
Mm-hmm.
It's a springy lineup if you got Oubre, Porter, and Morris as your front court.
Mm-hmm.
And then throw Satoransky into the mix.
Oof, Wall, Beal. Yeah, Wall and Beal or Wall and Tom.
I mean, they could basically, essentially a four-guard lineup. That's a thing. I don't know how effective it would be in the NBA. I know they got burned a lot of times last year when they tried to go small. Obviously, they didn't quite have the personnel they will this year. Or the trust to Otto and Kelly to do things in bigger positions. But, hey, it's all there. Let's keep rolling here, gents. Stop me if you've heard this one before. New free agent signing, Jan Mahinmi. He's out 4 to 6 weeks with a meniscus tear. He is our first new sounder of the night, so that's exciting.
Ian Mahinmi.
I mean, it's a little bit denigrating, but we get the gist of it.
I like
it. Ian Mahinmi.
If you want to, there's a bunch of those on YouTube, so just type in Jan's name and you'll find them. Brian Cardinal's probably my favorite there.
I read a really that I don't know if we've talked about how Candace Buckner is the Wizards' new
we have not mentioned her
beat reporter. She's great. But I read a really endearing profile that she wrote. Did you read it?
Mm-mm.
About Jan, about how he had finally like come into his own as like a leader and a starter on the Pacers, and it really seemed like the gist, she didn't want to come out and say it, but that he's like very shy now that he's on the Wizards and like is trying to like fit in. Well, it just sounded like he seemed pretty self-aware of it, that he was like a quiet guy before. Might have something to do with like not speaking English great when he was first getting into the league, but that makes me like him, to picture him as like a kid on the first day of school, like trying to figure out how to fit in.
You know, I feel like a guy to have with him there is Martian. I know they're going to
for sure.
They're going to be splitting time or whatever, but I feel like though they could be good pals and he could be a good guy to assimilate him into the locker room.
Yeah, and Gortat should... Did you read that quote where he finally was like, it was really bullshit that they were leaving Chris Humphreys out there instead of me, and like, I love Chris, but he can't do the same kind of stuff that I can. But I feel like, I mean, Mahinmi is a really good player, so he should at least respect that he's not Chris Humphreys.
Mahinmi was my go-to cheap FanDuel center last year, if that counts for anything.
I mean, he looked really good in preseason.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't... I mean, I had him on my really terrible fantasy team that I eventually gave up on, if you listened at all last year. He was probably one of my best players, which tells you a lot how shitty my team was. But he was good. He averaged 11.8 points a game, almost 10 rebounds. And we will certainly take that coming off the bench. I think, unfortunately, he's out. Obviously, when you find out that he's going under the knife, he's out for at least the first month of the season, if not more. A lot of Allen Anderson flashbacks are coming to mind.
Yep.
But if he can get healthy and be a steady guy coming off the bench, you know, you shore up some of your defensive issues that you had last year. The Wizards weren't a great rebounding team at all last year, so you've got that. And he can score some points too. So we did some bitching and moaning, and I know I melted down on Twitter during free agency, but like, He's fine, and he's a good addition to the Washington Wizards. I'm actually very sad that we don't get to see him out there sooner.
Yeah, I was excited. He was doing a lot of stuff that you just don't see, or that we hadn't seen out of any Wizards big men for a long time. Mm. When was the last time there was like a big, active big man that the Wizards had?
Vesely?
JaVale McGee?
I think Nene when he first showed up. I think yeah. It's probably as close as you can get to that.
But that he can like get up and block some shots and like really, I mean, Gortat rolls well to the rim, but not like he's not going to finish. He's not going to like put back dunk on somebody. So that will be disappointing. But hopefully he comes back soon. He doesn't miss that many games.
A little bit bummed also, I mean, just because I want to see him, but I think getting off to a good start is particularly important for the Wiz. So his minutes that will be available are probably going to go to our friend Jason Smith, who we will get into further down the totem pole.
Let's just not. We just won't do that.
Let's ignore him right now because we've got better things to talk about. There is early... You know, very, 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 very early rookie of the year buzz for this guy. He's looked good in the preseason. He looked good in the summer league. I'm talking about our boy, Tommy Fresh. Yes, this is it. This goes on for like 8 minutes, too, if you guys are interested.
All right, let's wait it out.
We are into classical music here on this podcast. The William Tell Overture, which we'll get to eventually. But Thomas Satoransky, he joins the Wizards after years of self-imposed exile in the Spanish Basketball League. He was the other member of the 2012 draft class with Bradley Beal, which seems like an impossibility, seems like a lifetime ago. But he here, I think they signed him to a three-year, $9 million deal, which is super cheap. I mean... He must have been getting paid in chicken nuggets over there in Barcelona. Like,
I think it was Trident Layers.
Yeah, Trident Layers and some pan con tomate. So maybe some frozen croquetas. Who knows? But Tommy Fresh looking strong throughout the preseason. He's going to be great coming off the bench. You lose Ramon Sessions. Obviously, there are other issues at guard that we can discuss momentarily, Trey Burke, but he looks good. I would kind of like to see him mix up with Brad Beal, but at the same time, I feel like his importance to the bench is greater than like how much fun those guys could have out there. And he plays into the all athletic lineup that they could unleash between John, Brad, Tommy Fresh, Kelly Oubre, and Otto. I mean, that's five guys that can, I mean, play a variety of positions, so
I agree he's looking really good and love the positional versatility of him, but where are you hearing this early rookie of the year buzz?
Well, you know, just I mean it's just various things like, oh, like so and so's look good, this guy's look good. I know who you're defending over there, Gary. I know you.
I mean he's
the Gary sound hasn't gone away, which is good news for everyone.
I think he's going to fit really well in that Garrett Temple role, sort of like the utility. He can play a little point guard. He might have to play a lot of point guard based on what Trey Burke has done, but or looks like. But that he can play a little like wing. He can play he can play the small forward. He can play shooting guard. He can defend all of those positions, I think. I thought it was funny how surprised everyone was that he was very athletic. You would think when they figured out that he was finally coming over, one of them would have been like, hey, look at this YouTube video right. of him. But all of them apparently had never seen him play before, which is very funny to think about. But
he's going to be great for if you go to the games and they do the like ask a player segments on the big screen. Foreigners are always the best for that.
Well, let's hope they play this music in the background.
Is this part of the...
This is more traditional Czech music. All right, that's enough of that.
I was digging it.
The first part is the most fun. But excited to have him. I mean, honestly, could have used him. Could you? I mean, not that my... If we're doing some revisionist history here, having him on last year's team probably wouldn't have done a whole lot for them. But, like, him and Ramon Sessions as your backup backcourt, like, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
I just wish that he would have come over sooner. And I've been on the record as being bitter about that. But I've also been on the record as saying that, like, I understand why he would choose to live in Barcelona over Washington, D.C. So,
and maybe he needed that year. We don't know what he looked like this time last year.
Yeah.
You know, young dude, that season could have helped him get to where he's at now.
All good points. Let's roll on here. I feel like, you know, we want to get to the new additions, you know, the hot storylines, all that. But we've really neglected our main man here. Marcin Gortat. The second best player on the Washington Wizards, everyone.
Is that who sings that song?
Lauryn Hill.
Is that the one that got in? She got in like serious trouble for tax evasion or something.
I don't know if it.
Did she get in trouble or that song? What do you mean?
No, I mean her. Yeah. Not the song.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Definitely her.
She definitely did. Yeah.
I feel like that's the riskiest kind of person's intellectual property to use in a podcast, because she finds a bill from the IRS one day and she's like, who can I sue? And then we're in the poorhouse because we're trying to respect Marcin.
Dave, I will throw this out there at you. I'm pretty sure legally you are allowed to like broadcast a sample of music as long as it's under 30 seconds.
And something has to do with if it contributes to the discussion as well. That has to do with something.
Hmm. I don't know. So really, this conversation we're having right now is like a safeguard against... Okay.
Yeah,
plus,
yeah.
It's just a beautiful song about a mother coming to terms with an unexpected pregnancy, and then, you know...
Is that
just,
really what it's about?
Yeah.
I'm glad we've totally trivialized it and used it for, you know, a little hype song for a Polish center. So,
I mean, it works.
Obviously relatable, yeah. It's a little Martian here. Second best, or at least the second most consistent player on the Wiz. I'm excited to see him because I think he's going to have an extra spring in his step without Randy Whitman around. Those two were the most famous clashers throughout Randy's tenure. Martian was always in the doghouse. How many times during Randy Whitman's tenure were you like, why is Martian not playing in this critical period in the third quarter? Like,
right.
Just the fact that that is going to go away. I mean, we talked about like Scott Brooks, like him just being around and like them being more focused might win him four more games. That might win him two or three more right there. I'm excited. I like Martian. I love Martian. Why do people hate on him so much too? There's a lot with Martian going on here.
Yeah. I think people just take him for granted. He's always there, whether they're playing well or playing poorly. He's usually playing about the same. Yeah, I think people just take it for granted. They don't think that he's as integral as he is. But yeah, just let them... If you're starting center who puts up a double-double and is good at basically everything, can play 80 games and play 30 minutes a game, just play him all the time.
Yeah.
And now that they have... I mean, they don't have Mahimi for a little bit, but now that they do have like a real backup to him, play him as much as you possibly can play him at center.
Right.
And he, you're talking about, he's incredibly steady.
Right.
But then also occasionally blows up. Like everyone, right. Sometimes he wins a game, like with a 35-point game.
Right.
Where him and Wall just have the pick and roll perfectly running. So, and he doesn't really have the reverse of that. You don't really ever see a game where Gortat is awful start to finish. There's some times where I've seen him like start slow and kind of have to work into it, but you never really see a game where he's just terrible.
Right, and the thing about him is that he's at least like a 7 at everything. He is not going to block a bunch of shots, but he's a pretty solid rim protector. He's good. He's like a quick. He can defend the pick and roll. He can obviously run the pick and roll extremely well. So, yeah, he doesn't really have bad games. So there's no reason to leave him out in the fourth quarter, especially to put, like, Nene out there last year or Chris Humphreys. Just made no sense.
He did have DC highs last year. He averaged 13.5 points per game and just about 10 rebounds. So, and honestly, I feel like he could still be better. You know, he misses, I mean, it's the joke on Twitter, Gortat bunnies. You know, he constantly misses short shots.
You got it.
Whew. I just get excited, you guys, and I just can't spit the words out. You know, and he could be slightly better at rebounding. You know, he could block a couple more shots. Like, he could be more of a defensive presence. You know, he's okay on defense, but he could be better. So there's room for improvement. And I think, kind of like John, you know, if everything's clicking, I mean, obviously, you know, rising tides, that improves everyone's boating status, I guess. But I feel like he could be the... Yeah, that floats all boats, right? Is that how the phrase goes?
Rising tide lifts all boats.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like he could be the biggest, one of the bigger beneficiaries of that sort of thing.
Well, this sort of feeds into both the next guy and just the general makeup of the team this year. But I think with Beal hopefully playing more games, because that Beal-Gortat little side, like, two-man game that they ran, they didn't get to run it much last year because Gortat has to play with Wall, and Beal didn't play with Wall a lot last year when he was coming off the bench. But that is when Gortat is really good, and when he has Markeith is a really good passer, and I think they will work together better now that they'll have a whole year together. And so if Gortat's only offense isn't just Wall pick and rolls, I think he'll be able to score a lot more.
Let's roll into Markeith Morris here. Our first round draft pick of the 2016 draft. So good on Ernie Grunfeld. We joke and we talked about it a little bit over the summer, but you know, if it weren't for Ernie's just like flagrant disrespect for the NBA draft, that it would have been less insulting to trade those picks away. But you know, he got a good player. He got a power forward, which the Wizards have not had in several years, a true power forward. So that's exciting to see. It's exciting to see him, you know, integrated with the team. You know, half season, you got the full preseason in effect now. And I honestly think he kind of got lost in the team's attempts to make the playoffs at the end of last year. Like, his improvement in his play, I mean, it really was a big boost. And I expect big things from him this year. And I think people might sleep on him a little bit going into the season.
I'm pumped for Morris. I think Morris is going to be good. I was excited when they got him last year, but like you said, I think he came over out of shape because he like wasn't really playing in Phoenix. He was playing light minutes and like getting a lot of DNPs because of all the crap going on with him in Phoenix. But they've had this sort of role fleshed out for their power forwards here for a while, where the pick and pop or just the pop out for the 17 footer is like really important for the power forwards, whether it's Humphreys or Nene or whoever's playing in that spot. And I think he's going to be better at that than any of the people they've had doing it previously. Dudley was better at it from three, but I'd rather have only the twos from Morris and the occasional three. I guess he shoots them a little bit, but then with his defense also, I'd take him over Dudley, and then I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, I agree. I could see him being sort of like a hybrid of what Nene and Dudley were in that power forward role, because he is a really good passer out of like the high post there, and he can shoot the three a little bit, and he just won't like be hurt or lazy all the time like Nene was. Yeah, I think he'll be. And the Wizards were just like extremely better as soon as he joined the team. They were a like above average team as soon as he started playing. So
it's been hard to tell what it seems like their plan in the preseason. A lot of games, they're just like, it's very experimental. They're not sticking with any one thing, but there have been some times when they've been using Morris as like the go-to, kind of been making him the first option on offense, and that's usually gone pretty well. I don't think he'll be the first option really ever, but it's just good to see that when they go to him for buckets, he's been pretty successful with it.
It's nice. I mean, really, when you think about it, when you look at the starting lineup, the biggest question marks, I feel like, are Otto and Brad. I feel like you really have three consistent guys now who can carry that scoring load a little bit, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, move the offense in such a way where John doesn't have to be the primary scorer. So that's nice to see. And, you know, if Otto and Brad, you know, pan out to their solid selves, or at least what we hope them to be, then, you know, this could be a potent starting five.
I think any way you slice it, I think even last year when that unit played together, that's a really strong starting five. Like better than some teams that were way better than them last year. There aren't like weaknesses there, like an obvious, you know, you can beat them here, or they can, there's like a ceiling on how good they can be just because of like the makeup. I think it's a really balanced starting group.
Yeah, there's no like real obvious minus defender there either.
Right. It's not like the Raptors started like Luis Scola last year. There's no like, fuck, there's a huge hole in our team and we can't really do anything about it.
And even with the Wizards playoff teams of 2 years prior, both years, I mean, that was the hole. They didn't have a power forward. And
right.
I mean, they found success with Paul Pierce and Otto and that later run. But, I mean, this is no longer an issue for them, which is very nice. Let's talk about a guy who could crack into that starting five. Some Kelly Oubre action. Lord Wavy. Lord Wave. What did we decide?
Wave Poppy. And I looked it up just to make sure that I didn't make that up. But he was going by Wave Lord.
Wave Lord. Okay, I like that too. Wave Poppy and Wave Lord.
I feel like this is the oldest and whitest we've sounded on the pod to this point.
We're not even that old, you guys. Yikes.
I mean, aren't we though?
Kelly Oubre, he had a nice summer. He's had a nice preseason. I am excited for him to be a factor off the bench. I'm also excited for him to kind of hopefully find his own a little bit more this season and have us curse Randy Whitman for burying him on the end of the bench, because, I mean, this is the reason they drafted him. I mean, he went to Kansas. He was, like, so highly heralded. He kind of, like, flamed out relatively, and then was drafted a little bit later because he didn't play so well. But, I mean, he's always had this talent. He's always been a talented basketball player, and that's why they drafted him. They drafted him on his potential. We're starting to see that. We've even seen old Scotty B question Otto's position in the starting rotation, saying that Wave Lord Wave. What do we decide? Wave Poppy. That's how I know him. I'm just gonna stick with that. Might take over Otto's job. I'm excited. This is fun. I mean, even if he stays on the bench, like, he could still be a scoring threat. And then guess what? You've got three guys who can score on the bench, which is two more than they had last year.
Yeah, and he's I think my two favorite things about him are that, number one, he really gets into playing defense. And number two, he's not at all afraid to shoot, but he's not. So I guess the one thing I really like about him is that he's not Jordan Crawford. It's basically, because when he first showed up and they were like, you know, you could see him becoming the kind of guy that just takes a bunch of bad shots, because he fucking loves to shoot the ball. He loves to, like, try to go to the rim when he really maybe shouldn't, but he loves to really play defense, and he only, like, takes over the game when it seems like that's what he's out there to do. It's like a preseason game, you know, and he'll shoot 18 times or whatever because that's what they want him to do. So he doesn't seem, like, selfish about it. He has a lot of confidence and is able to do a lot of different kinds of stuff.
Andrew Nicholson, who I think we roundly admitted didn't know existed in the mm-hmm. the summer pod. So that's a thing. We're really sorry, Andrew, because It's preseason, I understand, but he's averaging 12.8 points and 6.6 rebounds. When he was signed, there was a little bit of chatter. We saw some, you know, when Zach Lowe is saying, like, hey, like, he's not the worst. He's got some potential. He's got a little bit of a ceiling to him. I take note of that sort of thing. And, you know, all we're really looking for is just a little bit of help at power forward in the backup role. I mean, 13 and, you know, 6.5 is not anything to be expected from this gentleman. But if he averaged, you know, let's say like 7-4, that would be nice coming off the bench. I mean, to have something like that consistently, that would get me steamed up. So I haven't seen a whole lot about him, but I hope that he can find a stride and be effective off the bench.
I mean, he can shoot threes. He's got probably the best post game of anybody on the team, which is interesting because, yeah, I really had no idea. And
Man of a thousand moves, they're calling him.
I just looked him up today. He's 26. Doesn't he look way older than that?
So much older.
And I saw somebody, I don't know if it was on Twitter, maybe that was like before their last game. He's like, I wonder if Nicholson is going to wear those shoes with a concrete in them. He does run around like he's got bricks on his feet, and he looks like he's terrible, but he's very good.
Can you imagine him running on a treadmill?
he's really talented, though, which I wouldn't expect. I didn't know anything about him, but I could definitely see him being the... I mean, he will be the first guy off the bench, maybe, to start the season.
Really? You think the first guy off the bench?
Oubre, probably. Or him. I don't know.
I feel like Oubre or Satoransky, really.
It'll maybe Satoransky. I don't know. I feel like Otto played a ton of minutes last year. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm not as high on Nicholson. I'm not like I don't think he's bad, but I think he's somebody when he comes in, I'm more hoping he just, you know, keep it afloat. I'm not expecting much out of him. I also don't think he's really going to fuck up much. Just get in there, get the other guys a rest, get out. I think he can do that. So, I mean, that's fine from a backup, so that's good, but I don't expect him to really go much beyond that.
I think if he can shoot threes, I think he's going to be able to give a different look better than those other bench guys. I mean, he hit like a bunch of threes in the last few games. That was
his off-season big workout thing, right? Didn't they kept posting videos of him shooting threes?
Well, he's been shooting like 60% on them. He's hit like a bunch of them.
I was unaware. I was actually going to say, I mean, just reading about everyone raving about his post moves, like I figured that would be the wrinkle that he would kind of bring to this team. Also sounds like he might be among the best. I mean, obviously he's among the best rebounders on the team, but surprisingly so, I guess, at this point. He's definitely like the big, I mean, we got a lot of question marks on this team, but he's definitely like high ceiling, low floor kind of guy. Like he's got a big range on where he might pan out.
Yeah, I think he's gonna play a lot.
That's a bold prediction, Dave. All right. Well, we're getting to the end of the bench now, and this is where things could get a little bit hostile because I feel like this is the case with every NBA team. You're always a little, you don't really get jacked up for the guys at the end of the bench, and these are the guys you normally want to blame. Just talking about a Dewan Blair type of guy, for instance. But let's talk about a guard here, Trey Burke, allegedly John Wall's backup.
Allegedly a point guard.
God, this kind of bums me out. I mean, first of all, to tell you how lowly his former team thinks of him, we said this in the summer pod, but the Jazz basically traded him for a hypothetical 14-year-old in the form of a 2021 draft pick. So there's that.
Maybe they're scouting. Maybe that's Bryce Maximus James or something they got eyes on.
So he's going to be here. I mean, who knows? Like, change of scenery. You know, he was a good college player at some point in time. This is the weak link right here. There are weak links in the Wizards team, but this one's glaring to me.
Yeah. But you know what though? Everybody thought Ramon Sessions sucked. He was terrible on the Kings and then came over here and was like one of our most consistent players last year. So, I mean, I haven't really seen anything from Burke in preseason that makes me think he'll be any good, but he's better than Marcus Thornton, though.
That's true. A guy that I did not even put on our
I know, I was looking at it. Well, actually, Marcus Thornton might be better, but I fucking hate... I'm not excited that he... How is he still on the team?
I feel like a young guy of some sorts that you might want to develop could be a better use of a roster spot. I don't know. He did nothing for me at the end of last year. He's around though. He's not on our note sheet, but we'll acknowledge his presence and his contractual obligations to the Wizards.
Oh man, you know what we should definitely get is did you watch Sister Sister when mm-hmm. you were a kid? And isn't there a next door neighbor Marcus? And they go home, Marcus.
It's Roger.
Oh shit, that's right.
You know what? We could just have the go home Roger thing on here just to like yell.
Well, you know what? And I'll just say Marcus, and then we can do it that way.
Okay. Hey, you know what? We need good bits for the soundboard. So I'm manning it this week, actually, Dave. But I think I'm going to turn it over to you. I think that's what's going to happen here. We just need to make sure it's loaded up.
Or you have drops like.
Oh, you know what?
Seconds.
The guy's name, the actor's name is Marcus.
What a save!
Or Marquez? I don't know, but.
That's what you were thinking.
That's the guy's name.
Well,
who's left?
Jason Smith.
Oh, your boy.
Yeah, we're gonna see a lot of him probably these first couple weeks, just because he's the. I mean, they could have another big off the bench, depending on these very, very end of bench guys. But they signed him to a fucking contract, so. He's in. We're going to see a lot of him through the first month of the season. That makes me a little bit sad, but you know, he's a tough guy. I mean, the only reason I was aware of him like in the NBA is just because he's like an a-hole. Like that's his bit in the NBA, which is fine. It's nice to have a guy like that on the bench. You know, obviously you don't want him taking up a bunch of minutes. He did average 7 points and 3.5 rebounds. In Orlando. So that's a thing. I mean, hey, that's not the worst as for Orlando. And I did, you know, I maintain my more Orlando Magic players on your team is probably not for the best position, but, you know, he's got to be better than DeJuan Blair or Ryan Hollins, right?
Maybe. He's been an end of the bench player for like 10 years or close to it, probably. And he's never really. Even creep towards the middle of the bench on any team, so I wouldn't be too excited about him. Somebody, I wish I remembered who, so I could give some credit, but somebody on Wizards Twitter recently described him as the default 2K create a player.
I mean, he looks exactly like that. I
thought that was pretty good.
He started 31 games for the Knicks, not last year, but the year before. So at least we're not the Knicks, and at least we're not starting him.
Okay, well.
That's our take on Smith.
Let's move on from him. Just in terms of the end of the bench, it seems like Jarrell Eddy is at least going to stick around for the beginning part of the year. I think it has something to do with like the money he's making and his contract, all that nonsense. But there are four guys currently on the roster, and the Wizards are going to take two of them. They come in the forms of, and I think these three guys are really in the mix. I think this last guy probably already out of it. Johnny O'Brien, Daniel House, Sheldon McClellan, and Daniel Ochefu. I have no opinions on any of these guys, so you know, we'll see how it goes.
I do think they already let go of Ochefu, didn't they?
Maybe not. That's possible because I think they get the rosters from 18 down to 15, so he might already be gone.
So, and I think they'll keep up Bryant just because Mahinmi's gone. But yeah, I don't have any.
Okay. Well,
I have no insight into that. So.
I'm pro Ochefu. I liked him at Nova. You know, they won. He was good. I've seen him play a couple times, but no qualms with him not making the team.
It's weird that Jarrell Eddy was the guy that stuck around. He signed that 10-day. He had one good game and then did nothing, but now is apparently like a member of the Wizards.
He just taped himself to him.
Maybe he's really nice, which would be nice.
Yeah. All right, so I think we are at, I mean, we've run through all the storyline, we've run through all the players, all that jazz. Let's get back to this win total here. 42.5. I'm going over. I think I might even put, I mean, there's limited time, but I might put some money on this because I just feel like they got to win 42 or 43 games at the very fucking least, even if they don't make the playoffs.
Put some money on it, Schwenk.
Ooh, I'm a little bit tempted.
Get your Bovada account active. Oh,
I think I might have to fire it up. Don't you think, like, they're...
If it's 42.5?
They are two games better. I'm sorry, I said 42 or 43, but 43 or 44, they're two games better, two, three games better than they were last year.
I would bet the over.
I mean, I can't imagine a season going worse than last year did. Beal immediately hurt throughout the whole first two-thirds of the season. They were the most injured team in the league. Shit just never really came together. And they still didn't have a losing record. Yeah, I don't see any reason to think they can't be worse than last year. I mean, they can be, but they...
You said it in like minute two of the podcast. They can be worse, everyone.
They definitely can, but they absolutely shouldn't be. There's no reason to think that they will be.
Do they sniff 50 wins at all? Can they get to like 48, 47?
46.
46, okay. I thought about talking a little bit of schedule here, but I feel like it's just tough to look at it preseason. I don't even know what happened. Oh, here we go.
There was a... Let me see if I can find it. But somebody does... They break down the schedule by month. Like, strength of schedule by month.
Mm-hmm. I will point out that when I was looking at... I was looking at last year's schedule and just kind of how they did month to month. Any kind of, like... Any winning streak or any like period of success always included a victory over the 76ers, which was like,
you get to play them four times,
right? Like, I mean, it's a good thing because like they're fattening up on those wins, but at the same time, it's not really saying much about the Wizards because they're just beating the 76ers.
Well, and well, next this year they've got the Nets are going to be like equally bad,
mm-hmm.
whereas last year they at least like were functional. So now you got two teams to beat up on. It's eight games.
Just looking at this early part of the schedule here, I mean...
Early looks kind of tough.
Yeah, I mean, they start the season at Atlanta, they go at Memphis, they get Toronto at home, Atlanta at home, they go to Orlando, then they get Houston and Boston and Cleveland all at home. That is, I mean...
Yeah, that first...
All those games are hard. Like, I don't want to, like... We just kind of pumped up the roster, and we were like, hey, like, this looks good, and that looks good. But then when you look at these first couple games, like...
They immediately get, like, six not-as-hard ones, though, right after that. Then you go...
Yeah.
Chicago, Philly, New York, Miami, Phoenix, Orlando. So, yeah, that first...
What's eight, that? I think eight? It's eight, yeah.
Here we go.
I mean, they could go 1-7. Like,
So this from Jared Dubin on Twitter. the 22nd hardest schedule in the league. If you want to go month by month, October, November, yeah, the 11th hardest. And then it's pretty easy, 20th, 26th, 20th, 21st. But then April, we have the second hardest schedule in the league. So it's tough at the beginning of the end and then pretty easy throughout the middle.
That April might only really be so because of the Golden State on the road.
Yeah,
because
you got Miami twice.
You got Charlotte at New York, Miami at Detroit at Miami. So
yeah, and I also can throw this is based on obviously like how good the teams were last year. So there's going to be some.
But I mean, at the end of March, they got a road streak where they go at Cleveland, at Los Angeles, so they got back to back with the LA teams, at Utah, and then at Golden State. So that's like a tremendously difficult 4-game stretch there. Nothing's easy in the NBA, obviously, but those first 8 games, they are certainly worrisome, and I don't want to say like we're just gonna see what the Wizards have right off the bat, but like we will kind of see what the Wizards have right off the bat.
You guys want to do some picks, some award predictions, since this is a big season preview app?
Man, we did this last year, and I
wish we remembered what we picked.
Well, I do remember because it keeps me up at night. I'm almost asleep, and I'm like, oh shit, remember when you said that? Because I picked the Houston Rockets to win the championship and James Harden to win MVP.
Hey man, you gotta be bold. That's how you make your name out in this podcast biz. Let's do it. Let's do some picks.
Okay.
All right, what kind of picks do you want?
All the major awards.
All the good stuff. You go. All right. Let's start with the MVP. Or do you want to do that last?
No, it doesn't matter. Let's start with it.
What do you think?
I ride for Westbrook all day. And I think they'll get, like, a high enough seed, even if it's only, like, 6, that people will be all about him. So I go Westbrook.
I'm going to go CP3. Mm. And, John, I hope you're hearing this. Because I wanted to feel his fire. But I don't know. I feel kind of high on the Clips. They got to stay healthy, of course. But feeling okay about him.
I'm going to pick LeBron.
LeBron.
I think he'll just do his, 27-7-7. They'll win mid-60 games, and
it's a good recipe.
Everyone will be like, oh, I'm sorry that we didn't give you the MVP last year or the last 2 years.
Right.
Why is that? I know I'm kind of jumping off topic here, but like, why is the Cavaliers winning like 61 games okay, but everyone's losing their minds over Golden State, like they gotta win 73 plus, like, or win 70 or whatever, but like it's cool if they just win 62 games, like that's fine,
because LeBron has done it so many times that he could win 40 games and be the 8 seed and you would still be like, well, he's obviously still going to be in the finals.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of like hype for like how many games are the Warriors going to win, and let's just cool it, everyone. Like they're going to win 63 games, and they're going to be plenty good and like worth watching every single night of the year. So, what else?
What do you got to do?
I'm sorry, Gary. What else, Gary?
You got Rookie of the Year.
Well, it's obviously not going to be Joel Embiid.
I was going to say Ben Simmons. Can you still pick him?
You can pick him. He's just got to tear it up after January on.
I'm going to pick him.
I've been hearing a lot of early buzz for Tom Satoransky. I'm going to pick him.
I'm going to go with Embiid.
Okay.
Interesting.
Start the clock.
Let's hear it. Let's interrupt our predictions. I want to hear some hot Philly. God damn it. Gary! If you want, I can do like
bleep
a,
him.
I can
just
do
bleep
a one
or
okay.
Something. He's been pretty awesome in the preseason. his usage is through the roof, and I don't like the only downside of that is he's turning it over a lot, but I don't think that's going to really come out of his rookie of the year votes, if especially with Simmons out. Like, they just have no one else who can do anything on offense, like, as a focal point. So his usage rate in the preseason has been something like 36% when he's in the game, which is just crazy. So I think that's just going to be the case when he plays. And now they're talking about his minutes restriction not being that low and potentially him playing in back-to-backs. So.
Yeah, Brett Brown is already like, jeez. Well, you know, I didn't, like, commit to...
Yeah. So his stats, even though they're going to be just, like, force-fed, are going to be crazy. And he's looked good also in it. So I'm pretty excited about him all in all. And I wore my Embiid jersey to my basketball game last night, and I didn't break anything. So I take that as a good sign that, you know, he's through this injury loop.
That's exciting. I think he clocked in at 189, so
perfect.
He did it.
What other awards? Defensive. POY. This one's so reputation-based.
I have no fucking clue about this.
I mean, it'll probably just be Kawhi again.
I'm going to go Paul George.
That's good. Mm. I like that pick. I'll go Whiteside.
Oh, also a good one.
Maybe just... gets enough blocks where they feel like they have to give it to him.
You know, I'm super interested in Whiteside because I feel like maybe it's just because the age that we live in, but he got so much like what happens to guys when they get the max contract after they have no money at all. Like there was so much talk about that around him, and actually I was like kind of maybe I had one set of fingers crossed behind my back that the Wizards might entertain the idea of him. I don't know. Crazy free agency thoughts, but I hope he does play as well because I feel like there's just more of that around him, and I don't think that's really fair.
I don't know. I mean, I think it can be fair. I think it's kind of fair. Like you don't get passed over by so many teams if you're as talented as he is without being like kind of a genuine shithead, I think. and now Dwayne Wade's gone, Bosch is gone.
I mean, they're really on rebuild mode down there.
Right. They might not, like, I would probably bet they won't make the playoffs. So I think it'll be interesting what that kind of Whiteside looks like.
Last night in my, I was doing a fantasy basketball draft and accidentally clicked Dragic instead of Booker.
Mm.
And it was so sad. just a slip of the finger.
I mean, Dragic, he'll put up good numbers, especially with Wade gone now.
Yeah, this was just a free league that I did just for, like, fun to draft. So I was just trying to get only dudes I was, like, excited to watch play and then, like, was pumped to be picking Booker, and then my finger went the wrong way. So it was pretty upsetting. We got most improved.
Another one I just don't...
I mean, it always just goes to the guy who gets whose the most, points per game goes up the most.
Yeah, it's usually somebody who gets, like, a new role, right. Just more minutes.
That's tough.
Maybe I'll go Harry Barnes.
Could definitely be him. Yeah, he could definitely put up, like, 20 points a game now, and that's probably a good pick.
You know what? You know who I like? Parson Chandler. Big bounce back here in Memphis. We'll get to see him in game two in the Grindhouse. Super.
What about...
He won't play, though, right? He's out for a little bit.
Oh, is he still out? Yeah. No. Sorry, everyone.
I think it could be Steven Adams.
Oh, I like that.
He might be like the number two option for them now. He's been scoring a lot in preseason.
Don't tell our old buddy Sydney that.
I'm named after the places I may have been concerned.
What's left? Coach?
Sixth man.
Sixth man and coach. Sixth man. Let's say Al Jefferson.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Andrew Nicholson. He's probably just going to score 20 points a game off the bench.
I've got nothing, so this is just preseason's award.
The who?
Fuck. growing pains. I'll just mark that down here. 131. Okay. A lot of edits tomorrow morning, boys.
And then coach, and I mean, I think obviously the front runner is Scotty Brooks.
Scotty B, my man. C-O-Y.
Gary, what do you think?
I'll say Stevens, if they can jump in front of the Raptors. Everyone loves him, so he'll probably...
Yeah.
If they can get the two, I feel like he'll be a lock.
Yeah.
We ride with Scotty B over here in Zardcast land. That was better, horse clopping.
And who's going to win it all?
The Cavs.
I'm going Cavs over Warriors again. Mm.
Just because... And you know what? This is going to hurt a lot of Wizards fans, and I'm really sorry, Dave. It might affect our personal relationship, but I like LeBron James more than Kevin Durant. I'm sorry.
I did too.
But it's true.
I like Steph Curry much more than LeBron, though. And I think thinking the Cavs will win is like an understandable impulse. It's like thinking that maybe we'll get our shit together and climate change won't just destroy the planet. That's just not the way things are looking.
Alrighty then. Do we have any other specifically Eastern Conference hot takes?
Eastern Conference hot
any,
takes.
Any
Eastern
thoughts on the rest of the conference at all? I kind of feel like, I mean, I'm really hoping, but Chicago and New York, I hope they bomb out.
Of course they will.
I think hard bomb Chicago. I don't think the Knicks will be as bad. I think the Knicks will be fringe playoff. Bulls really sink down.
The Bulls' four guards are the best shooter out of them is Jimmy Butler, who can't shoot. And then it's Michael Carter-Williams and Dwayne Wade and who's the other one? Who's there?
Rondo.
Oh, and Rondo.
The Mike Carter-Williams trade was like they heard everyone making fun of them for not having shooting. And they were like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Just went and got another guy who does the same thing.
Yeah, I think both of them are going to be atrocious. The only thing that might save the Knicks is if Porzingis... I think he could be the best player on that team next year.
I don't know.
Or this year, but we'll see.
I don't know a whole lot about Knicks podcast land, but one of the ones I saw out there definitely were they had like three episodes laid out for like their preseason plans, which I guess you can do when you're the New York Knicks and people do that. But they had an entire episode for Porzingis. Could we talk for 40 minutes about John Wall?
If he was a 7'3", 19-year-old Lithuanian who could shoot threes and protect the rim, I think absolutely.
Okay, that's fair.
We should definitely get your boy from last season on after like a month. Because the Knicks guy, I wasn't on that episode with him.
Oh, Old Stewart, yeah.
Yeah, because whether it's going good or bad, I feel like he would be an entertaining guy to have on.
Well, also, are we going to get Malcolm on?
We got to have Malcolm. Let's just throw the guest list out here. We got a Malcolm. We have to have Stewart. We have to have Jake on to talk about being burned by John Wall.
Sure. And if Caleb wants to like send in a drop, like how hard he was crying when when John said he was lame.
Ouch! Ouch! You know, I tried to get I really wanted House from DC. Bill Simmons' companion on. I begged on Twitter. It didn't work. Didn't work.
Sharp was on once.
We'll get him. You know what? Again. I'm going to try and eye up
his
for next
podcast
week.
Is really good. If we're doing just NBA like shout out stuff, not True Hoop. What's his SI one that he's on with Ben Golliver is like, they're a good mix because Sharp is like kind of goofy and Golliver takes a little more seriously, and it's a good podcast. A lot of the ones are kind of dense, and I can't get too into it. And then some of them are too light. They got a nice mix.
It's kind of a weird thing with, I feel like with the NBA specifically, I feel like you might be able to lump the NHL in with that, but like there's like a good mix of like seriousness and like goofiness when it comes to the league, and you know, like the content all around it, if you will. Yeah, we'll get Andrew Sharp on for sure. That's the goal, boys, this year. We're booking more guests.
Well, and I say we try to do one every week, and if we can't get a guest, just call somebody in Houston if we're playing the Rockets. Just anybody. And say, do you have a minute to talk about the Rockets? I used to work in a call center. If you call enough people, somebody will talk to you.
Maybe you can get a script for us together.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
And an auto dialer.
Sounds great to me.
All right.
All right, gentlemen. I think we've been at it for nearly an hour and 40 minutes.
Good Lord.
We knew this was going to be a long season preview, but you guys have any parting shots before we get out of here?
Pop culture detour?
We could do pop culture detour. I've been watching Westworld.
Westworld's banging. It's good. Black Mirror is about to drop on Netflix again.
And if you're not watching Atlanta, absolutely watch Atlanta.
I watched the most recent one right before I came here, actually.
So, yeah, watch like the three most popular shows that are out there. That's our insight into pop culture.
Gary, you want to play us out on that segment?
What do you mean?
Do the pop culture.
Oh, shit. Pop. Pop culture detour.
Nice. All right. Well, let's out of here on that. We will return next week. Keep an eye on the Twitter, @Zardcast. And then subscribe if you're just too lazy to even keep up with that. And so we'll just appear on your phone when we post. Thank you for listening. We're going to keep it up all season long. We're excited. It's a good pod. And we'll come back at you after the Wizards' first game. I think that's what we'll have to talk about next time. So until that time, do tell a friend. Spread the word. We appreciate everyone who has continued to listen, everyone who is just jumping aboard. There are various...
But if you left...
Are they allowed back?
Yeah, why not?
There are other podcasting options in the Twitter or the Wizards Twitter content sphere. There used not to be. We were on top of it. So we are. I feel like we're kind of the OGs in that respect. But
groundbreakers.
Yeah, for sure. So if you're here with us, thank you. And until then, until next time, for my co-hosts, David Keffer, Gary. Gary, my favorite human being who's ever been in my living room, I guess. I don't know. Until next time, I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.